This morning we dealt with the situation of it is not good for man to be alone. And we dealt with how God creates a helpmeet for man to help deal with that loneliness. Now, it's amazing to me because in that dealing with loneliness, he says the remedy to loneliness, and I want you to track me on this, the remedy to loneliness is family. Are you tracking me? What does a family begin with? A husband and a wife. All right, so for instance, and again, I picked on them this morning, and they said it was okay, so I get to pick on them again this afternoon. Right. So, the Lord's rules in how many days? She doesn't know how many days. Wow! All right, so we are coming up on, today's the 5th, so we're 61 days away. All right, so there you go. Now you can do your countdown. But in 61 days, she will cease to be a Cranston, unless you're going to hyphenate, or he's going to take your last name. Maybe you are going to be that metro couple, and you're really just going to set the tone in Iowa from New York and New Jersey. You're really just going to set the tone here. And he's like, this is not funny. So, but you're going to cease to be a Cranston in name, and she will become a Bortle.
A what?
Great name. You're improved. Now watch this. Does she cease to be part of the family of the Cranstons? No. She's part of that. No, what they're doing, does Brother Mike cease to be part of the Warzel family? No. What they are doing is starting, he is leaving father and mother and cleaving unto his wife, and they are beginning a new family unit. God's remedy for loneliness was family. Now, I want you to think about that when we begin to look at God giving us, now watch this, this is what's so amazing to me. There are multiple levels of family. There's the husband-wife relationship that is supposed to, watch this, that is supposed to be the most intimate, the closest that a human being can come to another person. Scripture tells us this, that they become one flesh. That means, and it's really kind of neat, Tracy and I, y'all know the Hedricks. Miss Melissa sent us a message on Monday. Hey, thinking about y'all, love y'all. What can we pray for y'all about this week? Now, Tracy and I were not together at the moment. I was actually in the camper working on a couple things. Tracy was in the kitchen working on a couple things. And I wrote back, hey, we love y'all too. Y'all are a very special family to us. We appreciate your prayers. We need you to pray for family camp. It's family camp time. We need you to pray for our building. While I give those two prayer requests, unbeknownst to myself or to Tracy, Tracy then sends a message, and we send them almost simultaneously. And Tracy says, ah, you're so sweet. We love you too, this, that, and the other. And then says, pray for family camp. Can you guess what the second prayer request was? Pray for the building. And we both cracked up, and Tracy even put it in another message of, we're in separate parts of the camp, and we're yet answering the same thing. You know, we're starting to get to a point to where I can know by looking at Tracy, I can know what she's thinking. Because most of the time the glares are coming at me. And I know that's the look that says, I shouldn't have just done that. What did I just do that got me in trouble? But for her, she knows what I'm thinking. Would he want veggies with this? Absolutely not. He would not want veggies. I'm going to try, though, and see if he will take them this time.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. But here it is. We're starting to get to a point to where we know one another. She is my closest friend. But she's not just, and I really don't like this when people say, but my wife's my bestest friend. Right? Okay, she's not just, she's so much more than just my best friend. She's my companion. She is who completes me. She is my closest friend. She knows me better, but she's not just one of the boys. I laugh and I joke with her like I do with no one else. There are certain things that we just, man, we are just, God made us specifically for one another. And so when we join together, the remedy for my loneliness was my missing part. But that's not just, that was just the beginning. What then God says, you know what, I'm going to help fulfill this desire in you to keep it moving forward. I'm going to give you children. Now, we're going to do a lesson on this because what determines you being a child? Well, if it's just being born, if it's just birth, well, we're kind of in trouble because we got grafted in. There was an adoption that took place for you and for me. We're going to teach on that, on adoption. What does that mean? Well, and I think about the Hunzikers, the adopting process. All right, well, does Lauren get all the family rights of a Hunziker?
Nope. She has to sleep outside on Monday nights. She's got to give her offering. And if she doesn't give her offering, she's outdoors on Monday nights. Ruth is on Tuesday nights. No, when they got that name Hunziker, they got all everything that comes with it. They got the father and the mother. They got the home, the trips, the vacations, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts. Now, some of that you're like, especially like with my family. It's like, yeah, Tracy, when you said yeah, just so you know, there's a side of my family that we're probably not going to fellowship with. And we had to make some choices in that. But you know, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He gave me the power to become a son of God. He adopted me. He drafted me in. He made me one of His own. And He gave me all the rights of sonship. Does He withhold something from us that He doesn't give to His own Son? No. Hey, matter of fact, He tells us, I'm going to give you all the glory in due time. I'm going to exalt you in due time. Man, isn't that glorious? So when God says the remedy for loneliness, aloneness, is family. There are two families that you and I are going to focus on. There's the biological family. That's the family that you either marry into, you're born into, you're adopted into. One of three ways. Now, there are some relationships that it's just, I just made it like Cole is just Uncle Cole.
We kind of have that relationship with Roger, with the kids, when before they were members here. It was Uncle Roger and Uncle Angie. But that's even, like, even to this day, you'll hear the kids, though, Uncle Roger ain't Angie. That's still to this day, that's the Marquezes, it's Uncle Ray and Aunt Beth. There are just some people that you just get so close to that you become almost adopted family. You know, I kind of feel that way with Brother Dustin. That just some of the things that we have been through and everything. Not the uncle, but almost like a brother. A brother in arms. And I think that's something unique about our church, our men. That's just how we feel. We go through things. We battle through things. We work through things together where we're brothers. It's not just a church relationship, but we are in it to where we communicate and we talk and we know one another outside of church. And so that brings me to the second family that we become part of, and that's the church family. See, God designed the church to be a symbol or a representation of what He did in the garden when He created Adam and Eve. We are the bride, the church, and Christ is the groom. What a glorious picture. What a glorious picture we have of that. And that helps, watch this, being placed in the church as it pleases Him is to help alleviate the aloneness that you and I can face. Now watch this, hold on. The church is a refuge for those. Like, so you say, let me say it this way. You say, well, my marital relationship is a mess. Okay? But your church relationship does not have to be a mess. And you can fight some of the aloneness that you are facing. God gave us two families that we can be a part of. There might be issues in the physical marital relationship, the biological, the family that you are a part of by name. But the church is also a remedy to help us with that. Church is where we come to learn to be better husbands. It's where we come to learn to be better wives. Where we learn to come to be future wives and future husbands and learn to be good. I was just talking with one man. I said, your son, man, he's going to make, one day, he is going to make a really great husband for some wife. I look around and I see our young people. And listen, I understand that we've got to find God's will for our lives and you've got to do God's will. I'm not saying that everybody is going to get married. There are some that are just going to be designated. They are born from the beginning. There's no desire whatsoever to be in a relationship. That's okay. God made them that way. But there are some, you just look at it now, that they, man, wow, we're going to deal with this. The boy craziness or the girl craziness. We're going to deal with some of that. Do you know that God has a remedy for you in that? We're going to teach through that. But you've got to be willing to stay asleep. The problem is we desire knowledge more than we desire life. We want to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of partaking of the tree of life or the water of life that God is offering. So when I come over here and I start getting knowledge, I'm no longer simple concerning evil. I'm starting to learn things that I shouldn't be learning. That's why, parents, that's why we're trying to develop the culture we are. So that when they're young, they're family. They're running around. I love this. Listen, we go on trips, we're going to have a 6-inch rule. We do things that we don't touch. But I'm telling you what. If we teach a culture of brother and sister, you don't have to worry about them trying to date on the kickball court. I'd much rather have that than have to set rules up. What are you doing back there, Miss Dawn? What are you thinking about doing? You got eyes on her, Brother Daniel?
No.
Here it is. So, and that's the way it is. I'm telling you, every teen camp I've ever gone to, it is with the mentality, the dating culture, you're trying to find out who's trying to get whose phone number and who's trying to like who, and how many times are you going to get a different boyfriend or girlfriend at camp. I'm telling you, every camp I've ever went to was that way. Do we want to change the culture? Are we tired of losing our kids at an alarming rate because they have a desire for the things of this world? Where did they get it from? Our homes. You say, not in my house. Then there's somebody in their fellowship, their ring of fellowship, where they're getting something that's defiling them with the things of this world. And that's what we're on guard about. And that's where the church family can come into play. See, it's not just, watch this. Any man in this room has authority to say, Elliot, stop it. And I'm going to step out on a little limb here. The ladies too. If you see Elliot doing something you shouldn't be doing, don't let him keep doing stupid. If Aunt Angie truly loves Elliot, she will say, hey, Elliot, stop. Then she's going to come find Mom or Dad and say, hey, just so you know, I pulled up. And I'm going to go, hey, good, thanks. Next time, he's in the head with the law, so he gets it. Right? And by the way, I'm not upset. I'm not upset with parents that have concern for my kids. Like, oh, we're going to offend them. You're not going to offend me. Like, and here, you take every piece of advice, you cycle it, you do with it if it fits. If it doesn't fit, you use it as a teaching tool, and then we go on. But hopefully the parents in this room, listen, don't be a hypocrite. And by the way, don't try to correct someone else's kids when you're not correcting your own. That, I will take exception with you on that. If Brother Roger wasn't training David to be a man, listen, then he comes up to Elliot and says, be a man. I'm going to go to him like, hey, what gives you the authority? What gives you the right? You've got no leg to stand on. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't treat my son the way you're not going to treat your own. Right? I know this. Every parent in this room wants me to treat your child the way you would, right? Absolutely. And how would you treat them? You treat them as if they're a treasure. I hate to put it in this word, but it's fitting. They are the greatest investment that you have. So what is it going to take? Well, the preacher is going to come along and undo all your investing. I've seen that happen before. Where pastors say things like, nah, he just needs to man up. He just needs to learn to get over it. You just parents just need to get over it. Y'all need to learn to suck it up, let him be a man. Now, there's a point where he does have to man up. All right? We've come to the point now, if Elliot falls, we kind of all laugh. And then we check on him and make sure he's okay. And that he's not going to die. Right? He was like, now the dying part. That's debatable. There have been moments. But here it is. But I know he's not going to break. You start to learn I know what his deficiencies are. We know what his weaknesses are. And we're trying to work on those things, but man, I know where his strengths are. And so here it is, I can harp on all of his weaknesses, or I can compliment the strengths and say, hey buddy, we got to work on this. Come alongside him and help train him in the weaknesses. By the way, where do you get the weaknesses from? This guy. See, he's the best of me, but he's also the worst of me. And that's where we've got to get him to see, hey man, let the best out, get rid of the worst. because Dad didn't do that enough when I was reaping what I had sown. Especially with Mackenzie. Tracy is reaping what she has sown with Elliot. I'm reaping what I have sown with Mackenzie because she is more like me and Elliot is more like her. But do you know what helps with that? Church family. See, we come together. Why? Why do we come together? Because this is where God has brought us. This is where there's just something special about this place. It was funny. Brother Napu Noah, Brother Everett, sent me a Facebook happy birthday. And he said this, thank you for being our pastor in the wilderness. Hey, we're here a year, a little over, or something like that. And I understood exactly what he meant. Because when your life gets turned upside down, inside out, you're not sure where to land. You know, all of a sudden you end up in a place called Glory Baptist Church. And the Lord uses that church and that congregation to help bring you along, get things right side up, and functioning. What is that? That's the church family helping us deal with some of the aloneness. Now, I want to classify this aloneness into a few categories. There is the aloneness of you are all by yourself, and that's what Adam was at. He was all by himself. There's another category of aloneness, though, where you have your family and you're standing for God and you're doing right, and you are all alone. Elijah felt this way. I am the only one left standing. Yeah, God says there were 4,000 that have not bowed the knee. There can be a perception of aloneness when we are in the battle. And we're fighting, and all of a sudden we just feel like nobody understands. Nobody's there with me. Nobody gets me. Nobody is. Why hasn't somebody? No, let me encourage you in this. Stop for a moment. Get out. Get out of the battle fog. And realize that you have soldiers all around you standing. Families that want to do right. Families. Listen, families that you can look to and say, hey, what can I learn from them? What can I get from them? What can they help me with? We've got some families in here that look like they've got it all together. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, they look like they have it all together, but I know this from fact. I know it for fact. You can look like you have it all together, but you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off behind closed doors. Like, we survived. We got everybody dressed and at church. We survived. And when you come in, everybody, you're smiling, you're high-fiving, you're what, we're surviving, you're celebrating the fact you survived this morning, and everyone is thinking, I wish I could be like them. Now, let me encourage you, what you need is God to show himself to you. See, you can have a great family, but you can still feel alone. You can be in a marriage and you can feel alone. There are some marriages that are face to face. They're intimate. They're close. They're on the same page. They're friends. There are some that are just side to side. They work well together, like a three-legged race. But there are some that are back to back. And they are doing their own thing. Now let me ask you a question. Which one of those three messages, or of those three types of marriage, which one do you have? Now don't answer out loud. Which one do you have? Because I'm about to give you some of the pros and cons. See, the pro of the back-to-back, work's getting done. But that's it. The con, there's no fellowship. There's no oneness. There's no true joy. There is no partnership. Just the work is getting done. That's not a bad, by the way, getting work done is not a bad thing. But what it does, it becomes the only thing. And that in itself is never going to satisfy. But side by side, the pro, you're doing things together. Pro, work is getting accomplished. Pro, you know what the other is doing. Con, you are simply just partners. Con, there's no true intimacy in that relationship. Con, you are not able to see the real need of the other individual. The face to face. The con, you don't see anything else going on around you. I'm going to get there, hold on. And I'm going to explain why that I put that as a con. Pros, there's oneness. Pro, you see the need of the other. Pro, there's true communication and relationship. Pro, true fulfillment of intimacy. Now, all right, so Pastor, why did you say con of you're not able to see things around you? That's the entire focus of this. Is that we need to stop looking around us and trying to find greener grass. I'm glad that when I had a one-on-one, face-to-face relationship with my wife, listen to me, that nothing else in the world matters. I've got her, she's got me, and I'm meeting her needs. That's the relationship we're striving for. That is when, in the family, listen, when I'm talking, we can be face-to-face with my kids as well. What kind of relationship do you have with your kids? Is it face-to-face, is it side-to-side, or is it back-to-back? See, with the church, do I have a face-to-face, a side-to-side, or a back-to-back relationship with people at the church? I'm telling you right now, if you're trying to cause division in the church, you have a back-to-back relationship with folks in the church. When you are right, when you're making texts and phone calls purposefully trying to hurt another individual, that is a problem. That's a back-to-back relationship. That's not a face-to-face relationship. That's not building intimacy. That's not building closeness. That's not a side-to-side where work is getting accomplished. The church, God designed the church to be a picture of what the home is like. I'm going to be honest with you. When you start to look at churches around us, and we've been in numbers of churches, and there's no other church. I told Brother Dustin this. We're not going anywhere. I have no desire to go anywhere. I'm begging the Lord, don't send us anywhere else. This is where we want to be for the remainder of our lives. Do you know why? Because Glory Baptist Church is the best. No, Glory Baptist Church, we're a family. That's what I love about Glory Baptist Church. I'm closer to my church brothers and sisters than I am my own biological family. If you didn't hear Miss Taylor just said amen. That's what I love about my church. It helps fight the aloneness that I have. The church is not replacing your marriage, but it helps alleviate some of the aloneness when your marriage is not fulfilling what it's supposed to be. The church is there to help you take care of some of the loneliness. God, give us a church so that we can be here to help one another. My best friends ought to come within this congregation. I'm not saying your only friends come within this congregation. I'm saying my best friends come within my family. Listen, my best friend is my wife. My next best friend is Mackenzie. My next best friend is Elliot. And they're on the same page. The only one that usurps both of them is Tracy. Man, these are my comrades, my amigos, my musketeers. I spend more time with them than I do anybody else in the world. And if there's ever going to be a point to where there's going to be happiness, listen, I want to transfer to my son everything that I have. Well, that's not going to happen with a back-to-back relationship. That's only going to happen with a face-to-face relationship. Fucker. But here it is. We've got our bison bonk. Not right now, no. Elliot and I are now starting to do chest bumps. He tried jumping off of 3 stairs to chest bump me. I'm like, refrigerator explodes. We have to buy a new refrigerator. Gotcha. But here, we laugh, we joke, we have a good time. But you know, sometimes we have to deal with problems too. But God's remedy for aloneness is family. There's the biological family. There's the church family. But I want to deal with one more aspect of relationship that He gives us, that this is the avenue in which we get into the church family. See, either married, biologically born, or adopted into the biological family. But with the church, I've got to be born again. I've got to get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is what's truly marvelous about the relationship. Is that when, watch this is amazing. When I get the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me, that alleviates all aloneness. I am never alone ever again.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that when I get the Holy Spirit of God in me, I've got even what Adam and Eve did not have. Adam and Eve were visited by God. But here it is, right? The Lord's only getting ready 61 days away from I do. We were just talking about it a little bit, that the first kiss is a little awkward. Don't worry. Brother Daniel's got the remedy for it. Right? There it is. So, but I love this. At weddings, the first kiss is, woo! Yeah! Get another one! More! More! I do that to encourage the guy. Because most of the time it's the guy. It's like, I remember kissing Tracy for the first time. And I was like the man, I was all set, and it was like half a second. Preacher looks at me, and I look at him. Yeah, I was like, there's something about kissing now. I was like, go for the woman. Calm down. But here, there's just something. There's going to be, y'all are at different locations right now. Soon, you're going to be in home sweet home order set. It's going to be so great. Getting the oil off the dishes, get your car parts off the counter, put the oil pan back outside. Oil filters are no longer glasses. Spark plugs are not forks or knives. Oh, it's a great, it's like a toothpick. It sparks you too. But here, you're gonna, aloneness is going to disappear. But unless you to build a marriage around Christ, there still can be physical aloneness. In a marriage that's not centered around Christ. Now, you got Christ now, you're not alone. But God's bringing that person that's got your missing parts. We'll be able to get the full restoration done. Amen. Original parts. God ordained original parts. And here it is. What a glorious thing that is. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin to give you a personal relationship with Him.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter the status of your relationship right now. You cannot say, I'm alone, if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart. Because you've got to come to an understanding that He completely satisfies. Why is it, when do young people get to a point to where they can stay asleep? When Jesus Christ completely satisfies. How is it that a young lady can depend on her dad to help guide her into a relationship that ultimately one day will lead to marriage? It's because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's not the aloneness. I remember so desperately wanting to get married because I thought Tracy would solve my problems. You know what I found? Tracy brought a whole new set of problems to the relationship. It wouldn't be until 1 month before we got married. I trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I understood satisfaction then. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I really understood it even then. 18 years later, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting into the beginning stages of the understanding that Jesus Christ can satisfy every desire I have when I yield it to Him. Physical, emotional, mental. Hey, any desire I have when I yield it to Jesus Christ, He can then satisfy me. And there is no aloneness. Because my relationship with Jesus. See, this is what makes the face-to-face relationship so much better. Because we are able to be face-to-face. Because there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. And there's nothing between me and my spouse. See, God saw that it was not good that man be alone. He said, so I'm going to create a family. And I'm going to make them a part of something that's bigger than themselves. But they can find complete satisfaction in it. And isn't it amazing, watch this, isn't it amazing that even though they had the perfect relationship, the perfect environment, they were a beauty, an attraction, they had it. Yet the devil convinced her there's something better. And she was deceived. And Adam willfully disobeyed. And he messed up the whole thing. See, the devil wants to come and convince you that, yeah, you're alone. Nobody understands. Nobody gets you. Nobody. You're just all out there by yourself. Nobody cares about you. Now, let me remind you, nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. All your sins and griefs to bear. Yeah, he did that for you. He cares for you. And he said that when you turn to me, I will in no wise cast you out. And I will be with you. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave you alone. There's never going to be a time where you are going to be separated from me. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing at all. And you and I can stand here today realizing that the aloneness that was from the design from the beginning was fulfilled when we got family. What was ultimately disbanded, barred, and defeated the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, some of us are watching us. Hold on. I understand where we are at in our stages of our relationships. I get that. And there are some in here that are hurting. Let me encourage you in this. God knows. God sees. You're not alone. For some of us, we need to humble ourselves before a thrice holy God and say, God, in this relationship, I've been wrong. Some of us need to humble ourselves before a thrice holy God and say, God, I'm limiting you in what you can do. Some of us just need to stop and think just where you'd be had Jesus come down from that old cruel tree. And we need to thank Him for the day that we trusted Him as our personal Savior. And He took away that aloneness forever. Okay, Pastor, I'm tracking you. I'm following you. So what do you do when I feel alone? What do I do when I feel alone? When you are overwhelmed with a sense of aloneness, you run to the one place where you can find refuge, the one place where you can find solace, the one place that is to the rock that is higher than you. I'm not the rock. I was talking with an individual one time, church planner, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to anchor myself to you. I'm going to anchor yourself to a couple other pastors so that I don't drift too far left. I said, oh, you're anchoring to the wrong guy, my friend. Because I have a propensity to go left as well. Because I am loved by a flesh just like you are. You need to anchor to the rock whose name is Jesus, who is steadfast and sure, who's got you in the palm of His hand, and He puts His hand in the palm of the Father's hand, and then He seals you in the Holy Spirit of God and keeps you. You have a threefold cord that is not easily broken surrounding you. It is time for you and I to
be able to, I can't explain this.
I'll put it this way. All right, I'll close with this illustration. Tracy just went on a trip to D.C. Do you know how I slept while she was gone? What's that?
Horrible.
Horrible. Yep. Do you know why? Did my bed change? Did my blankets change? Did my pillow change? Was part of me absent? The kids were still there, I think. I felt, when I laid my head down at night, I felt alone. And do you know what happens when I feel alone? I'm talking from the human perspective. I'm not talking about the spiritual of I'm finding refuge in Christ. Do you know what happens when I'm in my flesh and I am by myself? Do you know what happens when you feel alone? You end up in dark places. Your mind has a propensity to wander, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And I'm telling you, that takes place when we are in that dark place of flesh, when my spouse is not with me. Did God leave me? No. Did He forsake me? No. I did not walk in His presence. I did not access His presence. I was never alone. I was just walking on the wrong side. And for you and me, I'm telling you, the first day I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay around. I don't. What is the point? Oh, I gotta feed the kids. Taquitos in the oven. Oh, yes.
Hey, Ben.
Dipped in sour cream. Queso and sour cream.
Hey,
I need another box.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Always.
You need $700 worth of gummy bears. I can, 2 days later, it's gone. Is she home yet?
Nope, she's now diabetic.
And here it is. Like, we all can go to it, and you've got your places you go to. And stuff still got done. The house was still clean. The kids saved alive for the most part. But you know, the reality is this, that I struggled because I did not access the presence of the one that never leaves me nor forsakes me. Snapped out of it day two. Don't make that face.
Dad just wasn't the same.
But I'm telling you, when Tracy was coming home, I was so excited. Because Mom's coming home. Mom's back. And can I tell you this? Every morning when I go to the throne room, I can say, oh, you're back. I'm back in your presence. I missed you. It's so good to see you again, Jesus. I can't wait to fellowship with you this morning. See, that is the relationship that I have with Jesus. Though every earthly relationship fail me and leave me and forsake me, God forbid if Tracy and I ever got sideways and we have a trouble that we cannot reconcile one another, I can rest assured in this, that Jesus Christ will never leave me nor forsake me. And I understand the struggle and the area that, I get that. But I had experienced Jesus on a personal level. And He satisfies every single time. So how is our aloneness dealt with? Family. My biological family, my church family, my relationship with Jesus. That deals. That is the remedy for aloneness. You say, well, I'm struggling in that relationship. Then utilize the biological family. Well, that family's no benefit to me. Then utilize your church family. But Jesus Christ will suffice. He is sufficient. I promise. Do you know it? Let's pray.
Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day.